Once again, welcome everyone here. We're glad to see each and every one of you, and especially the visitors. We're happy to have you in our presence. Last week, we began looking at the subject of whether or not our religion, or the religion that we practice in the name of Jesus Christ, matters. In other words, does it matter how we do it, or can each one do it in their own particular way? I want to suggest to you that it makes a tremendous difference how we carry out our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus stated, beginning in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" There was something that made a difference here. Something that made such a significant difference that it was a difference between being saved and being lost. And it was a difference between those that claimed to be servants of Jesus Christ, those that claimed to call Jesus Lord, to be His followers. And yet we find that some are saved and some are lost. We're told over and over again today that it really doesn't matter which church you belong to or what particular doctrine is taught or what you might believe about certain issues, as long as we all believe and then there is a certain parameter given. Maybe that Jesus is the Son of God. Some people say as long as we keep the Ten Commandments. There are a number of different standards that are set there that we have to believe that or we have to practice this, but everything else, it doesn't really matter. What we did last week is we looked at the fact that it certainly makes a difference what we believe. It makes a difference that we believe in God. For those who come to God must believe that He is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We have to believe in the God of the Bible. And there are many religious people that worship today, and they are not worshiping, nor serving, nor believing in the God of the Bible. We also saw that we must believe in Jesus as God's Son. "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. And there are many religious people today, many very upright and devout religious people that do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God. It makes a difference. We must believe in the gospel message, Romans 1 verses 16 and 17, because it is the power of God into salvation. It is the message that we must believe about Jesus and about our relationship to Him and how we're going to be saved. We must believe in the one baptism. Mark 16 and verse 16, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 6, there is but one baptism, and we must believe in the one church that is written and spoken about throughout the New Testament. Specifically in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body, that body being the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 verses 22 and verse 23. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 before we move on to the next point in this study. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the brethren at Thessalonica, and he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had unpleasure, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I want to tell you, it makes a difference what we believe. It made the difference for these folks in being lost and being saved. The fact is, we can believe a lie. We can believe a religious lie, and if we choose to believe that, because for whatever motive, maybe we have pleasure in that unrighteousness, that we reject the truth. What he says here is that God is going to allow us to go down that road. He's not going to prevent us against our will. He will allow us to believe that lie. Because there is deception in the world. We already see that with Satan. And according to his working with lying wonders, verse 9. And listen to verse 10, "with all unrighteous deception." It's out there in the religious world. It's all around us. And what God is telling us is that here is the truth, here's what you must believe, and you can know it, and you can believe it if you will to. John chapter 7 and in verse 17, "whoever wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. We can know the truth. We just have to have the will to do the truth, whatever it costs us. But if we are not willing to do the truth, then we are set, we are perched for deception. Once we begin to serve our own will and decide what we want to do, then there will be a teacher that will come along that will tell us what we want to hear, and with all unrighteous deception will convince us of that because we want to be convinced of that, not because we cannot overcome it. And God will allow that. And it will be a strong delusion. It's out there. We don't have to give in to it. But once we believe a lie as opposed to the truth, it's all over. It matters what we believe. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact is, as Jesus showed us there in Matthew chapter 7, there are many religious people that claim to be serving Him, and they believe a lie. They're practicing lawlessness. That means what they're doing religiously is without authority. It's lawless. It's without law. It's without the law of Christ. It's without the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not in His name. It matters what we believe. But I want us to notice as well that it matters, it makes a difference what we preach. Because you will find in the various denominations in this community, even among some churches of Christ here in this area, that there is a difference in what is preached. Does it make any difference? We know that there's a difference, but does it make any difference in regard to my relationship with the Lord? Does it make any difference in regard to my salvation? Or is there a unity and diversity of what is preached and we can all agree to disagree? There is no doubt that there are different messages. Different messages being preached in religious assemblies throughout this area this very morning. Does it make any difference? I want to tell you it does. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." There is only one gospel that has the power of God into salvation. Romans 1 in verse 16 and in verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 5. Again, we notice there as He talks about these aspects of unity. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." That one faith is the message of the faith. It is the message of salvation by grace through faith. And it is the gospel. And the Bible tells us that there is only one that is true. There is only one that God has authorized. God is singular. There are not many gods. There is only one God. Of course, that God, being composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is still the singular God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And therefore, there is one God and Father of all, who is in us all, through us all, who is the creator of all. And just as there is one God, there is one faith. There is one message of faith, salvation by grace through faith that He has revealed. And that is the only message that is to be preached. In Jude chapter 1 and in verse 3, the Bible tells us that He wrote so that they might contend earnestly for the faith. Not the various faiths. All of the faiths that we find concerning Jesus in Blue Springs, Missouri, He wrote that they would contend earnestly for the faith because there is only one faith that saves. I want to tell you it makes a difference what we preach. Look with me in Romans chapter 10 and notice how the Apostle Paul puts it here, starting in verse 13. Paul writes, "By inspiration, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we're talking about our salvation, right? We're talking about the most important subject that we could ever discuss. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now starting in verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That hearing by the Word of God is the preaching that He's talking about in verse 14 and verse 15. How shall they hear without a preacher? He's telling us that there's a direct connection between our salvation and calling on the name of the Lord and what is preached. Because faith comes as a result of the preaching of the gospel. And if it doesn't matter what is preached, And calling on the name of the Lord makes no difference. Because you've got to be hiding under a rock to not understand and to not know that there are many different ideas of calling on the name of the Lord right here in this community, throughout this state and this country. There are some that would tell us that calling on the name of the Lord is simply to accept Jesus into our heart as our personal Savior. To just believe in Jesus with all of our heart and then to pray to God for Christ's sake that He forgive us of our sins. The Bible tells us in Acts 22 and verse 16 that when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, in that act of obedience, we're calling on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so does it matter? Yes, of course it matters that we call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. But that is directly tied to the preaching of the one gospel. So it's not that it is a moot point that we can just attend any church and it doesn't matter what they preach, that it doesn't make any difference. It makes all the difference what is preached, because what is preached affects our faith, our belief, and belief is necessary. God has not revealed differing and contradictory messages. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Truth is singular. Just like God is singular, just like the gospel is singular, the gospel is God's revelation of the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Singular. There's only one message of truth from God. And we are sanctified or set apart as a result of that. He has not given us various types of truth. Truth is not subjective. Truth is not relative. Truth is objective. It is singular. God is not the author of confusion. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the inspired writer says in verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine." These are men's doctrines. These are false doctrines. There's only one that's true. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to Him who is the head, Christ." Then go on down in chapter 5 and in verse 17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There is only one will of God. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 when He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." There is one will, not contradictory messages. There is one gospel, and only one message is true. As we've often said, and we need to remember, that if we are differing with another religious person that claims Jesus as their Lord, if they're contradicting beliefs, contradicting messages that are being taught, then either he is wrong and I'm right, or I'm wrong and he's right, or maybe we're both wrong, but we can't both be right. The truth does not contradict. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. We can obey. We can believe what the will of the Lord is. And it matters what we believe, so it matters what we preach. Because that is the source. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, way back in the Old Testament, God said, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it." And what that tells me is that God never has and still does not allow me to change the message of His will. He does not allow any man or woman to change the message of His will to fit their liking or whatever they might choose it to be. The Bible certainly tells us in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, He tells us that there are going to be those that will have itching ears, that will have something they want to be preached, and they will find someone to preach it. But I want to tell you, that is not going to be what we can do and find the approval of God. It matters what we preach. As a matter of fact, we are prohibited, we are commanded not to preach another gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul writes there about the revelation of the gospel. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." He tells us here that when we seek to preach a message other than what is found in the Word of God, what we are doing is we are actually perverting, we are twisting, we are changing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we completely remove it of its power. And so, as we see then in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says that when he departed from Macedonia, that he urged Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There is no gospel of Jesus Christ. If there is another message being preached, then it is the doctrine of men. It is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. But it is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. When we accept a different gospel, then we put ourselves in danger of condemnation. In 2 John, John writes and tells us there in verse 9, 2 John chapter 1, he says in verse 9, that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Here is a person that is teaching something outside of what Christ has given us and authorized. Remember, Jesus said in the Great Commission, make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus told them that He would guide them into all truth, John chapter 16. And He guided them into all truth, and they wrote that out, and therefore anyone, whether it's an apostle or even an angel, when they go beyond the doctrine of Christ, what Jesus has revealed, He tells us here that they do not have God. That's why they are to be accursed, Galatians chapter 1. But then He says in verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine. Now here's the question. Does it make any difference what we preach? Well, He says right here, the person who preaches something that's not a part of the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. But here's the relationship and the responsibility that you and I have to that person who's not bringing the doctrine of Christ. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. I have a responsibility not to be a participant, not to be in fellowship in any way, shape, or form with someone who is preaching or teaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I may have made this point before, but I find it interesting that when we talk about various faiths, people will say, well, Brett, what faith are you of? People talk about different denominations, and that, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter what that preacher says. You know, as long as you just, you know, as long as you're a Christian, as long as you call Jesus Lord, you're going to get to heaven. Well, we saw in Matthew 7, that's not true. But here's something that is interesting to ask. If you were to ask a denominational preacher, let's say, for instance, we were to ask a Methodist preacher, not to pick on the Methodist denomination, this would be true with any denomination. If we were to ask a Methodist preacher, do I have to believe Methodist doctrine in order to go to heaven? They will tell you no, you do not. If you were to ask a Baptist preacher, do I have to believe Baptist doctrine? What is unique to the Baptist denomination? Do I have to believe Baptist doctrine in order to be saved? The answer is no, you do not. The same would be true with a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, or any other denomination of that like. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believes what? The antecedent of believes is the gospel in verse 15. We have to believe the gospel. The gospel is the message that reveals to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but that's not all that it believes, not all that it reveals. We have to believe everything in the gospel. Jesus said that man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus says that in order to be saved, we have to believe the gospel and be baptized. And when a denominational preacher says that you don't have to believe his denominational doctrine to be saved, then he admits that it's not the gospel. What's he doing preaching it? According to Galatians chapter 1. And that tells you something about that denomination. When they're teaching things that are not the gospel, they're doing what is condemned in Galatians chapter 1. And when they admit that you don't have to believe their denominational doctrine in order to be saved, they admit that it's not the gospel. Yes, it makes a difference what we preach. We find ourselves accursed. We find ourselves without God when we bring any doctrine other than the doctrine or the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that there are false teachers. There are those that would lead us astray. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, I want you to notice here in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us about them. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." God says, it is awaiting. I'm kindling the fire. They will be punished, but don't be swept away by their error. Because they will be among you. They will be there. There are some folks today trying to deny that there are any false teachers among us. That in order to be a false teacher, that a man has to have a sinister motive. He has to have an attitude that he's trying to make people go to hell. You will not find that meaning in the book of God. A false teacher teaches something that's false, and it's no more difficult than that. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, as he speaks about perilous times, he says that deceivers will themselves be deceived. In other words, they will believe their own lie. Have you not known someone who's done that? Someone that is such a compulsive liar, and they've told a lie, they've told the story so many times, that they actually begin to believe it? What do you think about these false teachers? The Bible says they begin to believe their lie. So don't tell me that every one of them thinks, well, I'm a liar, and I want to be a good liar so that I can cause these people to go to hell. They actually believe the lie that they teach, and they're still a false teacher. And it does not change the condemnation that they will bring on those who will believe their error. It makes a difference what we believe, because false teachers can cause us to be caught up in their error and to be lost. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false teachers, for they will come into you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jesus said that they would be here. You know, we find the examples of such in Acts chapter 15. When we find that Paul and Silas are preaching together. And the Bible tells us in chapter 15 and verse 1 of the book of Acts, "Certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" That was false. These were the Judaizing teachers trying to incorporate the law of Moses with the gospel of Christ. And I believe that specifically that's what Paul is addressing in Galatians chapter 1. But he gives a prohibition that covers not only that error, but any error that is outside the doctrine of Christ. But they were teaching the Gentiles that they had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. It was as false as it could be. And I want you to notice in Acts chapter 15 that in verse 24, after deciding this based upon Bible authority, they said, "Since we've heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." He's telling us here that there are going to be false teachers, that they're going beyond the doctrine of Christ, and that it has an impact on the souls of those who give heed to them. It makes a difference. It unsettles our souls. It can destroy our lives. In 1 John, in chapter 4, John warns us about these false teachers. In 1 John chapter 4, he says there in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You need to be testing me and every other preacher of the gospel by following along in your Bible, by taking notes, and by searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. That's the noble mind of the Bereans, and it's what we must incorporate. He says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." The spirit of the Antichrist is to go against the revealed will of God. There's not just one Antichrist in the world. Anyone that is opposed to the truth of the gospel is anti-Christ. Christ is the Word become flesh, John chapter 1. And so when someone rejects the Word, whether it's the command to be baptized for the remission of sins, or whether it has to do with our worship and the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, when a person rejects the Word of God, they are anti-Christ. You know, people want to believe that the Antichrist is going to be some kind of superhuman monster out here with fangs and hides themselves in some costume. Those who are Antichrist are more than one. They are any and all who do not submit to the Word of God and are opposed to the Word, the Son of God. We've got to understand that we can allow ourselves to be Antichrist when we give heed to false doctrines and deceiving spirits, when we become partakers in their evil deeds by being in fellowship with those who teach error. We allow ourselves to become partakers of being Antichrist. It matters. It makes a difference what we believe, because false teachers can lead, and false doctrine lead men away from Christ. And let me emphasize this as well. It is not only what we preach, but what people will not preach that makes a difference. Because the book of Acts, the Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 20 and verses 26 through 27, the apostle Paul claimed that he was not guilty of the blood of any man, that he stood righteous and approved before God, because he said there in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." We cannot cherry pick the gospel to find our favorite parts of it, or to decide what is going to be controversial and not controversial, and I'm going to choose to preach the non-controversial parts because I want to be more popular, I want to be paid better, I want to get along with more people. You know, Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas, leader of one of the biggest mega churches in this country, was asked why he never preaches about hell. When Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven, and Osteen's answer was, "That's just not my ministry." I want to tell you, our ministry is to preach the whole counsel of God. And those who are unwilling to preach the whole counsel of God stand accursed and condemned by God Almighty. Because it would be easy for Paul to have gone into the Gentile nations and to just tell them what they wanted to hear and what would not be against them. But instead, we find that they tried to kill him over and over again because it is said, he teaches that there are no gods that are made with hands. Of course he did. Because that was their problem. That was their sin, was idolatry. And he had to preach to his audience and to tell them what sin they were guilty of. And as a result of that, there were riots in cities everywhere he preached. Someone said Paul either started a revival or a riot. But he wasn't worried about what would happen to him. He wanted to preach the gospel in its entirety. And we've got to emphasize that. We've got to insist on that. Whether it is with me or any other preacher, you must insist that the whole counsel of God be proclaimed and that it be preached. Yes, it would be easy. And we would not offend anybody in this community. And we could probably fill this building and again and again and add on forever if we would just preach what people want to hear. If we would tell a feel-good message. And there is no doubt that if a person has any gift or ability at all, they can hold their finger up to the wind and tell with their audience what they can talk about without making anyone upset. But God forbid that man ever be in this pulpit. "Tell my people their sins," God said to Jeremiah. "Cry aloud and spare not," he said to Isaiah. We've got to make sure that we are preaching the whole counsel of God, even when we find ourselves in the shoes of the prophet Nathan and have to stand before such a man as David, as fine a man as he was guilty in sin, and to say, "Thou art the man." And it was because of Nathan's preaching that David was saved, that he was turned. And thanks be to God that that preaching was done, that there was a man like Nathan alive that day. Thanks be to God that there was a man by the name of Ananias, who had the courage and the conviction to go to Paul, to go to Saul of Tarsus, later the Apostle Paul, and to tell him his sin and what he must do in order to be saved and to put his life on the line. It makes a difference what we preach, the whole counsel of God. Leaving out the controversial parts will eviscerate the gospel and remove its power. It is not up to us to decide what I can take and what I can leave in the gospel of Christ. We need to preach it all. Again, Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It makes a difference what we preach. It makes a difference. Well, there's more that could be said, and there's more that will be said. There are at least two other points in the sermon that we will go on with in this series. But I want to emphasize that when people tell us that it makes no difference what we believe, or that it makes no difference what we preach, that it makes no difference which church you're a member of, don't give heed to that. They're going to lead you in the wrong direction. They're going to take you down the wrong road. The Bible makes it very clear that we have revealed to us God's will, and it is God's will that must be believed and God's will that must be done. It is God's will that must be proclaimed if we're going to be saved. You have that opportunity this morning. You can come this morning believing in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. You can confess your faith in Him publicly here in this assembly. You can repent of your sins, turn away from your past life and what you've been doing, and turn to the Lord in humble repentance and obedience, and be baptized in water for the remission of sin. You can do that this morning before it's too late. And if, as a child of God, there is anything in your life that needs to be corrected, that needs to be taken care of in your life, that you need to make right with God, maybe you just need the prayers of the saints here, then we want to encourage you. We want to appeal to you not to leave here without taking care of that, but to come forward and to make that known this morning before, as we stand and sing. Won't you please come forward?